Free her from the snares of Satan, which until now have held her. Open to her, Lord, the gate of your mercy. Bernadette, receive the salt, which is symbolic of wisdom. May it bring you God's favor for life everlasting.
If you have children, your primary concern is to get them to heaven. And not just get them to heaven, but to follow Christ's command to make them disciples. In this video, we are going to discuss how to raise children, how to discipline children, and most importantly, how to take care of their souls. Before we get into discipline, I want to talk to you about something that's very important. My wife and I recently had a baby, and of course, we got our baby baptized as soon as possible. What I think that many parents fail to do, take your babies, take your young children, take them to the Blessed Sacrament. Offer them to God. Say, God, I consecrate this child for you. I give their life totally to you. May this no longer be my child, but your child. Help me to raise them as your child. Take your child to a statue of the Blessed Mother. And if they're bigger, that's fine. If you have not done this yet, take your child to a statue of the Blessed Mother. Say, Mary, I consecrate this child to you. I set this child apart as your child. Bring them to Jesus Christ. Help them to live God's will for their life. And we do this for a couple of reasons. So number one, consecration specifically, setting aside for holiness to Jesus through Mary, very important. Number two, this changes the way we think. A lot of times we think of these as my children. These are not your children, these are God's children. When you raise them and you don't see them as your own, but you see them as on loan from God, that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have entrusted these immortal souls to your care, when we start to see them in this light, it changes the way we discipline. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we parent. The first step to raising disciples is to teach them discipline. Now you might say, Gabriel, why are you qualified to talk to me about disciplining my children? Well, I have four children of my own. I've been blessed to be able to work in Catholic schools. I worked in middle school for 3 years where I had 30 kids in my classroom, over 125 kids per grade. I'm currently working as a youth minister. That's why we're filming in this youth lounge. We have over 200 kids in our program. There are times where I'm teaching them at least 8 courses, 125 kids in a single room, and thanks be to God, they don't give me any discipline problems. What is my method of discipline? It's actually very, very simple, and you're gonna think it's kind of silly. Clear and consistent consequences. Make the rules known. When they break the rule, give them a consequence. We don't lose our temper. We don't get angry. We don't show frustration. Why? Because we're in control of the situation. We are only punishing, we're only disciplining out of love because we want what's best for them. And before I give you some examples, let me be very clear. Every person is broken. Every child has concupiscence. Every child has a disordered inclination to do what is wrong. And so when we're disciplining, it's not out of an anger because there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with all of us. And so it's important that we discipline with love and with charity. So for example, let's say I need to discipline my son. Let's say he's acting up in one way, shape, or form. My first step is to say, please don't do that. If you continue to do that, there will be this consequence. So this is the behavior that I do not like, that I do not approve of, that is not good, that is not healthy. We explain why. And then we give a consequence. If you do this again, this will be your consequence. And you will have to discern what is the right consequence in that given circumstance. So maybe it is you won't look at a screen for the next 24 hours. Maybe it is you won't go to an event that you really want to go to. Whatever the consequence is, it's critically important that you follow through and you do it with love. Let's say you over-consequence, because in the heat of the moment, you're trying to keep your cool, you over-consequence, it's okay for you to reduce it later, after you've thought, after you've reflected, and you can say, my son or my daughter, you caught me off guard, I gave you this consequence, maybe it's not 24 hours, whatever it is, you're gonna give a consequence. I'm just making up numbers. Maybe it's 12 hours or 6 hours. It's very important that you discuss why we have these rules. Why do we have rules for modesty? Why do we have rules for language? Why do we not hit? Why do we not yell and scream in a grocery store? The times where parents lose their temper and get emotionally charged, usually it's because they're not enforcing a discipline. Another important rule that we have in our house is we don't negotiate with terrorists. What do I mean by that? If a child is throwing a temper tantrum, do not give them what they're throwing a fit about. Why? Because then that reinforces to them that this behavior is acceptable, and if you keep doing it, you can get whatever you want. So discipline, again, what is the behavior? Give a warning for the behavior, follow through with the consequence. If you do this routinely, you won't have to follow through the consequence because the kid's going to know you mean business. This works in the classroom. This works with my high school confirmation class. The key for me is don't lose your patience. Don't lose your temper. If you're losing your temper, there's something wrong. And usually it's not what's wrong with the child. Usually there's something that we're doing wrong or we're not following through their consequence.
May the dear Lord bless you. Shower graces on you. May the dear Lord bless Jenna.
The most important part of this entire video is how to actually take care of their soul. Before I get into that, we do have an obligation to protect our children. I don't want to talk too much about this, but briefly, according to St. John Bosco, the patron saint of the youth, he said that there are three things that steal good children from God. He said, first and foremost, bad habits. We're going to try and get rid of these bad habits by having discipline. Second, bad friends. It's going to be a parent's responsibility to know the children that your children are hanging out with. And finally, St. John Bosco said that children are led astray and people are led astray by bad books. Now, we're living in a time where there's more than just bad books. So let's call this bad media. We have to be very diligent about the influence that the media is having on our child's mind. They're constantly glorifying evil. They're causing confusion about the meaning of sexuality. They're causing temptation with immodesty. If we would not allow our children to hang out with drug dealers and prostitutes, etc., why are we going to allow them to look at these things on the media? So we need to be very diligent about that. And finally, a quick warning about your phone. The phone is the place where your children will have access to bad friends, they will have access to bad media, and they will have bad habits, hidden habits. We're not going to discuss the phone in this video, but be attentive to and be aware of that if the devil isn't coming into your home through the front door, he's going to try to get to your children through their devices. Now, how can we take care of their souls? This is the most important thing that we're going to cover in this video. And the beautiful thing about this is if you follow this plan, it's not only going to help take care of the souls of your children, but it's really going to help take care of your own soul. And if you're not doing these things, your kids are not going to do these things. So this section is really to benefit you as well.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
When I say take care of their souls, that's really an acronym that's going to help them become the disciples that God calls them to be. It's going to empower them. So care. C, confession. Confession at least once a month. I recommend every 2 weeks or every week. This is critically important. You have to go to confession frequently yourself. As a parent, if I don't go to confession, there's no way I'm going to value confession to take my kids to confession. How will going to confession frequently help me as a parent? If I go to confession every 2 weeks or every week, and I go to confession and I have a delicate conscience and I'm confessing, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I was looking at my phone the entire afternoon when I got home from work and not paying any attention to my kids. Forgive me, Father, for I lost my temper with my kids. Forgive me, Father, for I was watching videos on the television that had bad words that were going to scandalize my kids. Forgive me, Father, for losing patience with my wife and scandalizing my children. Through the sacrament, God's grace, God's mercy will help us to overcome that fault. So by you confessing regularly, it's going to make you a better parent. It has to start with you. By you confessing regularly, you're going to value confession and you're going to take your kids to confession. So how does confession benefit their souls? Very simply, let's say your child is struggling with something and they're all going to struggle. They're going to go through puberty. They're going to be influenced by the media. Even if we try to shield them, they're going to be influenced by people who are influenced. But they go to confession weekly or every other week. And they're confessing when they have lustful thoughts. They're confessing when they're losing their patience with their sibling. They're confessing if they have said something evil. They're confessing if they've gone onto a website that has a bad chat. They're confessing watching bad movies. And when they confess, they're also making a resolution to avoid this sin in the future. You have to start this from a young age. Why? Because it's not just about being a better person, and it is, but it's about experiencing the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. It's not about, oh, you were bad, I'm going to punish you, you must go to confession. It's about, no, we are all broken, we're all sinners. Now my conscience, which is troubled, is being healed by Jesus Christ. How are they going to become disciples of Jesus Christ unless they experience His mercy on a regular basis? And why do my saying go so frequently? Because the more we sin, the farther that we go from God's mercy, the harder our hearts become. And when we become teenagers and we become young adults, we've had years of sin, we haven't been to confession since our first communion, we've got so much baggage, we don't want to confess it. It becomes so burdensome. Even the devil is on our shoulder whispering us not to go back. But if you start your children from a young age, and they go when they're 7, and they go when they're 9, and they go when they're 10, it's going to make them so addicted to the mercy of God. They're never going to leave the church because they know peace that surpasses all understanding. But first and foremost, you've got to do it. So see, take care of their souls by taking them to confession. Care. C, confession. A, adoration. I encourage you to take your children to the Blessed Sacrament, visit Jesus in adoration or in a tabernacle at least 1 hour a week. I have a video that goes deep into this, but what are the benefits for myself? When I put myself as a parent before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, I give Him the opportunity to speak to me face to face, to give me the grace to have my heart set on fire so that I can love my wife better, so I can love my children better. In the Adoration Chapel, God will give me inspiration to do things for them. God will set my soul on fire out of a love for Him. And so as a father, I will become a disciple. The apostles went away and spent time with Jesus Christ in silence, and then they were able to minister to the people that were in their care. Well, that's what we need to do as parents. We need to go, and then also once a week, at least, all of this you can do more, at least once a week, take your children. This is a great time for them to learn and to have a relationship about Jesus Christ. This is a great opportunity for them to do spiritual reading. This is a great opportunity to sit in silence and hear the voice of the Lord. Who's the one who calls disciples? Not us, it's Jesus Christ. And so how can our children have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ if we don't take them to Jesus Christ on a regular basis? And you have to remember, we're all fallen. It's our fallen nature to fill our lives up with busyness. So you have to be disciplined and say, Johnny, Sally, we're going to go to adoration today at 4 o'clock. Here's how you adore the Lord. Here's how you pray. And then you're going to notice a great change in your children. Care. C, confession. A, adoration. Now R. R stands for rosary. With rosary, what do I mean? I mean Marian devotion. One of the roles of the Blessed Virgin Mary is to crush the head of the serpent. The serpent is trying to get into our families, to strike the shepherd so he can scatter the sheep. So the devil's trying to influence me. So I need Mary in my life to keep the serpent out of my life so that the sins of the father do not impact the child. So I have to be praying the rosary every single day. I also need to pray the rosary with my children. My children are the ones who are being bombarded by bad messages, by bad influences at school, by even bad teachers, sad to say. They need Our Lady in their lives. They need Our Lady in their lives to help them overcome sins and addictions. They need Our Lady in their lives to bring them consolation, to help them hear the voice of God. So pray the rosary with your family. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be pretty. Just get it done. Teach them the beauty of the rosary. Teach them the beauty of Marian devotion, that they have a mother who loves them, that loves them more than their very own mother. So my advice to you, pray the rosary every day. You know, my real advice to you is to pray the Marian Psalter, which is all of the mysteries of the rosary broken up throughout the day. But I know some of you are new to this. So for you, I recommend pray one rosary on your own, by yourself. You need to have this relationship with Mary first and foremost. Then you pray a rosary with your family. Is it going to be difficult sometimes? Yes, absolutely. I personally find great benefit of praying with my children before going to bed. So I will also lay hands on my children. I make the sign of the cross on their foreheads. I put my hand on their head. I pray to the Holy Spirit. I pray to the Blessed Virgin on their behalf. This softens their heart. As a father and as a mother, you have a certain authority over them. But again, the rosary is indispensable. They absolutely need this. And remember, from the beginning, you've consecrated your child to the Virgin Mary. How are they going to have a relationship with the Virgin Mary unless you instill this with them, unless you give them opportunities to love Our Lady? There's no guarantee what your children are going to do when they get older. We're doing the best we can as parents to give them these opportunities to meet God, to encounter God. But they still have to make their own choices. But if you've day after day prayed with them, saying, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. No matter what happens, at the hour of their death, they will get thousands of Hail Marys interceding for them on their behalf. And Our Lady, who loves them more than you do, will see to it that they fulfill their vocation, that they have holiness. I love to quote St. Alphonsus, Doctor of Moral Theology, who says, no true child of the Virgin Mary shall ever be lost. So a Marian devotion to our children is one of the greatest gifts that we can give them. Care, confession, adoration, rosary, and E stands for Eucharist. The Eucharist is the source and the summit of the Catholic faith. All of these things that we're doing, all of this discipline, baptism, confirmation, all of this leads towards our relationship with Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist. This is it. This is heaven on earth. You want your kids to be good so that they can be united to God in heaven, but they're united to God here on earth. So you need to have a Eucharistic-centered lifestyle. All of these prayers, all of this discernment is going towards our greater relationship with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We have to make receiving Holy Communion a top priority in our family. How do I receive Holy Communion? I should receive Holy Communion in a way that reflects my belief. I believe that that's really God. If that's really God and I'm kneeling in adoration, I should probably kneel with my body, show my reverence before God by kneeling to receive Holy Communion. If I want to be as reverent as possible, I wouldn't receive our Lord like I would receive a piece of bread in my hands when I go to a grocery store. I should receive on my tongue, humbly, being fed like a child is fed by his mother. These outward actions say to ourselves, say to our children, say to everybody, say to God, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief, I want to believe more. So, reverent reception of Holy Communion, very important. Arriving early to Mass to prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. When you receive Holy Communion, this is the most intimate time. This is where you pour out your heart to Jesus, and more importantly, you listen to Jesus. One other tip for making your life Eucharistic-centered is do everything in your power to go to Mass more than just on Sunday. When you go out of your way to go to Mass on Monday or Friday or Wednesday, you make time to go out of your normal schedule of Sunday. That's saying to your children, this is important. This is really more than just a one day a week thing that we do because we're Catholics and we have to do it. No, this is God. This is the greatest gift I can give you. I don't have money. I don't have fame. I don't have wealth. I don't have anything, but I'm giving you the greatest gift. I'm giving you the gift that God gave to us. And I'm giving you back to God in the Most Holy Eucharist. So in conclusion, if you really want to take care of their souls, help them to become disciples of Jesus Christ and get to heaven, you're going to take care of them. Care, confession, adoration, rosary, Eucharist. Confession, no less than once a month. Adoration, at least once a week. Rosary, daily. Eucharist, every Sunday, but try to go above and beyond. We should be longing to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. You have to lead by example. In order for you to take care of their souls, you first have to take care of your soul. Thank you so much for watching this video. I really hope that you found it beneficial. I have videos on many of these topics that I will put in the description section so you can go deeper on each particular topic that we mentioned. God bless you, God love you, and we will see you very soon. Thank you so much for watching this video. I really hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it with your family and friends. Also, hit that subscribe button above. That way you can get more unique content just like this. And feel free to watch more videos right now.